For a long moment, Mrs. Nightwing seems undone by sentiment. Her eyes are moist, but her voice, when it finally comes, is sure as always. Thank you. It is a most sensible gift, and I'm sure I shall enjoy it greatly, she says. With that, she removes the hat and tucks it gingerly into its paper cradle. She secures the lid and pushes the box under the table, out of sight. Our cups refilled, Anne, Felicity, and I steal away, crouching on the floor beside the tree. The earthy smell of the branches makes my nose run, and the warm cider brings a flush to my cheeks. For you, Felicity says, placing a small velvet pouch in my hand. Inside is a lovely tortoiseshell comb. It's beautiful, I say, embarrassed by the extravagance. Thank you. Oh, Anne exclaims, opening hers. I recognize it. It is a brooch of Felicity's that Anne has admired. No doubt Felicity has a new one to take its place, but Anne is thrilled. She pins it to her costume immediately. Here, Anne says shyly. She passes us two gifts wrapped in newspaper. She's made us each an ornament, delicate lace angels, like Pippa's. It is my turn now. I've no skill with the needle, as Anne has, and I haven't the funds to match Felicity, but I can offer something special. I've something as well, I say. Where is it? Anne asks. Behind her, the lamps do their dance, sending will-o'-the-wisps of light to haunt the walls. I lean forward, whispering, "Meet me here at midnight." They are on me at once, squealing with delight, for we are going back to the realms at last. A loud cackle erupts. It's a laugh I've never heard. Perhaps that is because it belongs to Mrs. Nightwing. She sits among the teachers, who are all quite merry by now. "Oh, Sir Claire, you have undone me," Mrs. Nightwing says, hand patting her chest as if to stop the laugh there. "As I recall, it was you who started the trouble," Miss McCleady says, smiling. "You were quite bald then, I remind you." Girls rush in like water through a split log, their busy questions pushed along by the current of their insatiable curiosity. "What is it?" they demand. "Do tell us."
"Did you not know your headmistress was quite the mischief maker?"
Miss McCleady says, dangling the carrot.
"And a romantic as well."
"Now, now," Mrs. Nightwing chides, sipping another glass of sherry. "Do tell us," Elizabeth implores. The others join in a chorus of, "Yes, please." When Mrs. Nightwing offers no protest, Miss McCleady continues her tale.
"We were at a Christmas dance. Such glorious favours they had. Do you remember, Lillian?"
Mrs. Nightwing nods, eyes closed.
"Yes, cards with thick red tassels.
Lovely, lovely."
"There were many gentlemen in attendance, but of course we all had our hearts set on a particular man with dark hair and the most elegant figure. He was so very handsome."
Mrs. Nightwing says nothing, only has more sherry.
"That is the man I shall marry," your headmistress announced to all of us, bold as you please. We laughed, but in a moment she took my arm and paraded past. "I did not parade," and dropped her dance card very artfully at his feet, pretending not to notice. Of course he came after her, and they danced three in a row till the chaperones intervened.
We are delighted by this. "What happened then?" Felicity asks.
"She married him," Miss McCleady answers. "That very Christmas."
"Mr. Nightwing?" I forget that Mrs. Nightwing was once married, was once a girl herself. I try to picture her young and laughing, talking with her friends. Nothing comes. I can only see her as she is now, the poof of greying hair, the spectacles, the severe manner.
"That is terribly romantic," Cecily says, swooning.
"Yes, terribly," we all agree.
"It was quite bold of you, Lillian,"
Miss McCleady says. A cloud passes over Mrs. Nightwing's face.
"It was folly."
"When did Mr. Nightwing die?" I whisper to Felicity.
"I don't know. I'll pay you £1 to ask about him," she whispers back. "Not on your life. Don't you want to know? Not that badly.
£1, you say?
It's Anne. Felicity nods. Anne clears her throat.
Mrs. Nightwing, has Mr. Nightwing been gone from as long?
Mr. Nightwing has been with the Angels for 25 years,
our headmistress says, without looking up from her glass. Mrs. Nightwing is a woman of but 48, 50 perhaps. That she's been a widow for half her life seems a pity.
He was a young man then? Cecily prods.
Yes, young,
she says, staring into the pale red sherry.
We'd been married for 6 very happy years. One day...
She trails off.
One day?
Anne prompts.
One day he left for work at the bank.
She stops, takes a sip.
And I never saw him again.
What happened?
Elizabeth gasps. Mrs. Nightwing seems startled, as if we've asked her a question she doesn't understand. But then the answer comes slowly.
He was run down by a carriage on the street.
A terrible silence descends, the kind that accompanies the sort of unexpected bad news you can do nothing to change or improve.